Daniel chapter 3, if you would, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look at a very familiar part of Scripture today. Even your little kids will know this one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You know that one? Yeah, we're going to look at this familiar part of Scripture here today, and we're going to learn some things. Here in Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to title this one, Who is that God? Who is that God? In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, creates this image. And he makes a command that everybody has to bow down to this image and worship this image of gold. And whenever the music plays, everybody would have to bow down and worship this image. And anybody caught not worshiping the image and bowing down would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Scary, right? Scary. Yes. And we're going to pick up reading here in verse 12 of that. So it says, "There are certain Jews from now, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was honied, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Who is that God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you now, and I beg you for your filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need you here today. I need you to use me here. Give me your words, your thoughts. Lord, distractions abound, but clear my thoughts. Bind the devil and fill me with your Spirit, I do pray, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory for what you do here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The world is full of quitters. There's nothing that grieves the Lord more than to see a Christian quit. Quit living for God. Quit going to church. Quit reading your Bible. Quit on your family. You see, quitting is the easy way out. Quitting is a selfish way out, and it is the cowardly way out. And there you go. Quitting is the loser's way out. Okay? When life gets a little difficult, too many people quit on the Lord. Here in the book of Daniel, God's people had been carried into captivity by Babylon. They're slaves in Babylon. They're given new names. They're given a new life. They have a new king, and they're told that they would have to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar and bow to his image. You see, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of solid gold, and he set up to be worshipped as a god. And he made a law. He made a herald, an edict. He made a law that everybody must fall down and worship that image, or they would be cast or thrown into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a serious dilemma. What would they do? Would they bow to the king? Would they quit on God? Let me tell you, these three men did not bow. They did not give in, and they did not quit on their God. Nebuchadnezzar was surprised. He was shocked. He could not believe that they would not bow. What? You will not bow to me, Nebuchadnezzar? Are you sure? Look at that fiery furnace. That's where you're going. Are you sure you will not bow to me? Let me give you one more chance. No, we will not bow, O king. We will not bow. Why? Why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bow? You ever wonder? Think about it. They were the minority. We don't read about all the other Hebrew boys. They are the minority, and they stood alone for God. They stood alone for God at the risk of their lives and at the risk of being thrown into the fiery furnace. They did not quit on God. They did not bow. They did not quit. They did not give in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's why we read about them today, because they did not quit. Nebuchadnezzar was furious, though. He was angry and mad, and he commanded that these three be put into the fiery furnace, and he orders them bound and put into the furnace, and before he puts it in there, he heats it up even hotter. He turns it up 7 times hotter. He was so furious and angry. And that fire, we know, we read it, it was so hot that it slew some of the mightiest men in his army. Sacrificed, dead because of the flames, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me ask you, would you be willing to go to the furnace for your God? Would you be willing to sacrifice your life at all costs and be thrown into the midst of a fiery furnace to stay true to your God? These men did. These men were willing to die in that furnace, and let me tell you why. Number one, they were different. They were different. Look there at verse 12 through 14. It says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" These men were different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't like all the other Hebrew boys that come over. These guys stood. They were different. They did not bow. They did not worship the golden statue. They believed in the Lord. They believed in Jehovah God, the one true God, the one living God that is revealed in the Holy Scriptures to us today. They knew the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. You see, they were taught the Word of God from a young child. They were taught the Word of God. They knew what God commanded. They weren't just taught it, though. They lived it. They believed it. Believed it, and here it was real to them, and they lived it out. And when the trials of life came and the tests came, they still stood firm. Although there was that temptation to do what everybody else does, right? There's that temptation to just fit in. There's that temptation to just do what everybody else is doing. I mean, after all, Mom and Dad, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I do it? It's so much fun, and all the other church kids are doing it. Why can't I just do it? I mean, when in Babylon, shouldn't we do what the Babylonians do? Just fit in, do what they're doing. What's it going to hurt if I just bow on the outside, but on the inside, my heart will be standing firm and strong and tall? You see, let me tell you, we do not read about all the other ones. all the other ones that gave in, that bowed, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided a long time ago they were going to be different. Like Daniel, he purposed in his heart he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. These three men purposed in their heart they weren't going to bow to a false image and worship a false god. They took a stand against the king's demands, knowing it was going to cost them their life. What would you do? We live in America. We don't have to worry about that, do we? Times are coming. Times are coming. Things are going to change. Times are coming. You're going to be forced to make a stand. You're going to have to be forced to be different. And if you are a Christian, you should stand. You should stand on the Word of God, not your feelings. Not your emotions. This is that. Your feelings are up. Your emotions are down. They change. God's Word does not change. God's Word is true from the beginning to the end. Every single bit of it. Genesis through Revelation, it's all true. In Psalm 119, 128, the Bible says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Do you? Do you hate every false way? Do you hate what God hates? Or do you like what God hates? Do you like the things of the world, and the Bible says we should be different? "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye different, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." You see, a child of God should live a different lifestyle. They should be different. They should have a different standard for their life. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. The price is blood. Jesus Christ's blood. God's blood. Hey, if you've been born again, you should walk in a newness of life. Get this. If you're saved and you've been born again, you never have to go to hell. Someone can say go to hell, but you can never go to hell because of what Jesus did on the cross. You cannot go there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You should live a different life just because of that. Our life should be sold out to Him. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's just reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to come to church. It's just reasonable service to read my Bible. It's just reasonable service to pray, to preach the gospel, to win the lost. It's just reasonable service. You see, there's too many Christians that have their priorities mixed up. You see, God should be first place in your life, in all things. Not a job, not a paycheck. You see, you got if your job or paycheck is first, your priorities are messed up. Your priorities are in life are messed up. In Luke chapter 14, in verse 26, Jesus says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." He cannot do it. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Look, your love for Jesus Christ should look like hate to our spouse. It should look like hate to our kids, our parents. To everybody else, it should look like hate, because the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in love with Him so much more. That's just reasonable service. You see, in our day and time, there's not many people that are willing to be different. There's not many people that are willing to be different, take a stand, knowing it could cost them their life. Too many Christians want to just be like the world. They want to snuggle up with the world and snuggle up with the devil and see, how much can I be like the world and still be Christian? But let me tell you this, if you're a real Christian, by the Bible definition, you're going to be different. You're going to be different, you're going to be separated, and you're going to be a testimony for what the Lord did to you on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Are you a follower of God? Are you? Are you a follower of God? You see, this is what our country needs. Some Christians that would just be different. Yeah, I said Christians. It starts with us. We're in this mess we're in today in our country because the Christians zipped our mouth. We don't say anything. We don't do anything. We don't give anybody the gospel. We don't preach the gospel. We preach about feelings. Oh, it's all about feelings. Oh, let me just cuddle you. No, it's not about feelings. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. But if Christians would just start doing what Christians should be doing, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, those are four things we got to do before He's even going to hear our prayer. Before He's going to hear our prayer, before He's going to answer our prayer, and before we're going to even see results from our prayer, we got to do some things. And we just don't want to do them. You see, these men here, they were different. When everybody else bowed to the world and bowed to Nebuchadnezzar, they did not bow. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's where we live in, is a perverse nation, a wicked nation. And it goes on and says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what we're to do. This world is dark and wicked. We're to shine as lights. Gilead Baptist Church, we're to be a beacon on the hill, a light on the hill. We're to let that light shine. We're not to hold it in. We're going to go get it out. There's people all over this place dying every second, every minute, every day, going to hell. What are we doing about it? Are we different? Are we different than anybody else? Are we doing anything about it? These men were different. Here's the thing, too. In our country today, people will stand for anything but God. Every weekend, and I just did a quick Google search on this. Every weekend at the football team, at the football games, some of the college stadiums will hold 100,000 people. Over 100,000. Most of them hold 90, 80, 70,000 people. And every Saturday or every game, they're packed full. Professional sports, the average is about 65,000 people. Every game, they're packed full. And these people are different. They dress different. They paint themselves up to be different. They go out there and they scream at the top of their lungs for their favorite team. They're different. But nobody wants that commitment. Nobody wants that to be different like that. Nobody wants to take that kind of a stand for God. The Christians don't want to take a stand for God in that. Why is that? Let me tell you, if you take a stand for God, you're going to be different. Here's another thing. If you want to get on fire for God, just be different. Just be different. But you know what else these men were? They were devoted. Look there at verse 16 and 17. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. You see, these three men faced the ultimate test of faith. They either had to obey the Lord or obey the king. What were they going to do? You see, the decision that they were going to make was a matter of life and death. It was a matter of life and death. What would you do? What would you do? If you're devoted to the Lord, if you're devoted, if you've been born again, you should be devoted to take a stand. And that's the thing. There's too many Christians that have no devotion to the things of God. Oh, I can't tell someone about Jesus. Can you imagine what they would think of me? Could you imagine what they would say about me? Could you imagine that they would laugh at me? If I knocked on somebody's door and told them how to get to heaven, they would slam the door on my face. I could never do that. Listen, grow up. All right? These men, their life was on the line. Death. I'm not talking about feelings getting hurt. I'm talking about life or death. These men were devoted. They were brave. We need some devotion and some brave Christians today that will keep the faith. And I'm not just talking about losing a job. I'm not talking about losing a friend. We're talking about losing their life. We need to stop bowing to the world. It's going to be unpopular. You're going to lose friends. People are going to be upset with you. Yeah, hey, when I first got saved, my family thought we were in a cult. Thought we'd gone off the deep end. Right? Things are going to be different. Things are going to change. You may lose a job. And let me tell you, if you lose a job, so be it. Maybe it was God's will for you to lose that job. If that job keeps you out of church, it wasn't God's will for you to have that job. God's will is never for you to miss church. So those over the internet, it's never God's will for you to miss church. You are commanded in the Bible to be at church at every serves. Every time the doors are open, you're commanded to be here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Hey, we're to encourage one another. These times are tough. How are we going to encourage one another? If you're not here, how can you encourage me? How can I encourage you? Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Here's my point. My point is this. It boils down to a heart problem. I mentioned a couple minutes ago that Daniel had purpose in his heart. He wasn't going to defile himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego purpose in their heart. They weren't going to bow to the king in his image. It boils down to a heart problem in you and I. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You see, there are places a Christian shouldn't go. There are things that a Christian should not do. Why? Because you'll lose your heart. You'll lose your heart. There's things you're not to look at on the internet. Yeah, sure, we may not go to the bars anymore, but what are we looking at on the internet? What kind of TV programs are we watching? You can't even watch a football game anymore because of the commercials. What are we looking at on the internet? What are we scrolling through on that phone? How much is our screen time looking like? Here's my point. What are we bowing to? We're all bowing to something. We're bowing to something. What is it? These men knew they weren't going to bow. They knew they weren't going to do it because they believed with all their heart in the one true God. They believed, and here's another thing. They believed it, but they didn't even have a Bible. They didn't even have one of these to read. We have it all completed right here. The Bible completed. They didn't even have a Bible, but yet they were devoted. They stood firm. They were standing before the king. You get that? They weren't standing before a friend, a buddy. Right? They were standing before a king, the one that had the power to put them to death. Hey, they could have just quit. Hey, this Christian life, it's too hard. I just quit. This Christian life, I just can't do it anymore. This Christian, they want me to come to church every service. Can you believe that? They want me to read my Bible every day, pray, and pass out tracts. Can you believe that? Oh, this Christian life is just too tough. No one could do this. I just give in. Babylon's been good to us. They fed us good. They clothed us good. They gave us a great job. I make so much money. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Here's why they didn't bow. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Right there. Do you have any other gods before him? What do you first place? What do you put above God? In verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth." Verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them." That's in the Bible, folks. We're not to bow down. We're not to serve them. He says, "For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God." He's a jealous God. He wants first place in your heart. He wants first place in your life. He wants first place in everything. That's the reasonable service we're talking about because of what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. In Isaiah 43:2, it says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." That's the God they believed in. That's why they didn't bow. That's why they stood firm in their God, because they knew the Scriptures. They had the promise of God, and they knew not to bow down to anything else. Let me ask you, are you part of the minority? Part of the minority when it comes to taking a stand for the Lord? I mean, think about the terror that they faced. Think about the death of a fiery furnace. Do we possess that same faith in God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had? We give number 3 here. They were also dedicated. Not only were they devoted, but they were dedicated. Look at verse 18. It says, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Hey, they didn't know what God's will was. They didn't know that God was going to deliver them. They didn't have the Bible to read how it was going to end for them. They just took a stand. They were dedicated. They said God could deliver us. He can, but He may not. If it's His will, He will. But if it's not, hey, He may not save me from the fiery furnace. He may allow me to go in there, but still I'm not going to bow. I'm still dedicated. Christianity today, many people, I'll serve God if He does this for me. I'll serve God if he does that for me. I'm willing to serve God if He doesn't require anything of me. I'll go to church as long as they don't require anything from me. As long as they don't make me change anything, do anything. Right? If I can just come and go and that just be it. If I get rewarded, I'll go to church. What are they going to do? What is in it for me, God? You should reward me. I've taken time out of my busy schedule this day. There should be some reward. What's in it for me? You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not thinking about themselves, were they? They weren't thinking about what they were going to get out of it. They weren't thinking about themselves, and that's where we fail. We're always thinking about ourselves. Thinking about ourselves and what will I get out of it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't afraid of the king's wrath. They weren't afraid of his fury. All they wanted to do was get this. All they wanted to do was serve the Lord. All they wanted to do was be faithful to the Lord. All they wanted to do was be the best testimony for the Lord that they could be. What is our testimony? What is our testimony at work? What is our testimony at school, at work, with our neighbors? Do we stand? Are we dedicated? Or are we just like everybody else? Just like all the other Hebrew boys that bowed. All the other ones that bowed with Daniel and ate the king's meat. They had the same word of God. They worshiped the same God, but they bowed. These men stayed firm. They were dedicated. In Job 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." You see, there are things more important than our lives. There are literally things more important than our lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. All I'm saying is, we need to be dedicated. We need to be more dedicated to the Lord. Let me give you one more here. Number four, I want you to see that they were delivered. They were delivered. Look at verse 25 through 27 there. It says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed. And get this, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are cast into the burning fiery furnace, and a miracle happens. The most amazing thing happens. Instead of dying, they are loosed from their bonds, their chains, and they're walking around in the flames. And Nebuchadnezzar can't believe his eyes. And he calls them out, and they inspect him, and they look and see not even a hair was singed. And the Bible says that they didn't even smell like fire. They didn't even smell like smoke or fire. How is that? Anytime you get around a fire or a campfire, you always smell like smoke. Doesn't matter how far away you are. But here's my point. Even in Babylon, God kept the promise. In the fiery furnace, He kept the promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. When those trials come, when that devil throws those fiery darts upon us, and those things are coming upon us, and we risk life, and we, whatever the case might be, we have the promise. To the born-again believer, you have a promise. He will never leave you. When those flames are all around you, all you have to do is open your eyes. Jesus is right there. He's right there, and you know what He's doing? He's waiting for you to get in the fire. He's waiting for you to get into the fire. You see, all that fire did was burn away the things that had them bound. The besetting sins, the bad attitudes, whatever the case might be, it's different for everybody. when we get into the fire, it kind of refines us, doesn't it? Refines us. It gets us real close to the Lord. You see, these three men had to get real close to the Lord in that fire. How close are we today? You see, they met the Lord in the fire. Let's get on fire. Get on fire for God. Too many Christians don't want to get on fire, though. They might come out of that fire different, right? They might come out of that fire, oh, God might want me to do something. God might want me to go somewhere or change something. I don't know if I really want to do that. We should just want to experience His power, His presence. A lot of times in our life, we wish away persecution, we pray away bad things in our life, but a lot of times, persecution, trials, is what grows us. We need to go through those trials, and remember Jesus put the disciples in a boat to go to the other side, and He sent a storm upon them. He knew the storm was coming, but He also knew they needed a storm in their life. They needed a time of refining. They needed a fire brought upon them. Fire didn't kill these men. The storm didn't kill the disciples, but it brought them closer to God. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast, and one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln said this. He said, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." You see, we need to be on God's side. We need to not pray for God to come to us. We need to go to Him. These men were delivered. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." These men were in the fire. They were on fire for God, but they didn't burn. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You see, God is never going to use you. He's never going to use me until He first takes us through the fire. We all need refined. All need to pass through that furnace. And when we do, we got to remember, we got to cling to Him. Cling to the Lord, because all things work together for good to them that love God. He's wanting to conform us to the image of His Son at no matter what the cost. So if you're saved here today, then you need to take a stand according to God's Word. And do not be afraid to get in the fire. But let me tell you this, if you're here today and you've not been saved, you've not been born again, you've never saw yourself as a sinner, because you see, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. That sin has separated us from God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. It's called the wages of our sin is death. So not only do we have to be saved from our sin, we got to be saved from the second death. In Revelation 20:14, the Bible says, "And are cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. You see, if you take your last today and you go off into eternity and you've never believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die and you will go to this place and like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. He's still there. But God didn't leave you helpless and hopeless. But God commendeth, means proved, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For you, He died for me. Let me tell you, regardless of what you think, okay? Everybody look at me. Regardless of what you think, there's only one way to heaven. And that's not me saying it. That's Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world, the one who came to seek and to save all of those that are lost. He said there's only one way to heaven. He said in John 14:6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Jesus is the only way. You see, 2,000 years ago, God sent Him here. He was born of a virgin, sent Him here. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And the Bible says if you put your trust in Him, He'll take you to heaven. All over the world, there's people trying to do things to get to heaven. He's already paid it all. On the cross, He paid the sin debt. The sin debt has already been paid. And so now all you have to do is receive the gift. He wants to give you a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you see, it was 38 years old before I believed that. I lived a lot of my life knowing all that in my head. I knew it. But knowing it in your head doesn't get you to heaven. You got to believe it. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only way to heaven, dear friend. That's the only way you will get to heaven. If you do not come the Bible way, there is no other way. In John 1:12, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's 8 billion people in the world today. Estimated about 8 billion people. Every single one of those people are in one of two groups. There's only two groups of people in this world. There are those that are doing things. Well, they're going to church and they've maybe been baptized and they're dropping money in the offering plate at the church and they're feeding the poor and they're helping their neighbor and they're work, do. And at the end of the day, these group of people, all they can do is hope they're going to heaven. The second group is those that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that can get a person to heaven. They trust in Him and what He did on the cross. Me, I cannot get to heaven. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. Nothing I could do to get me to heaven other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So what about you today? What about you? What group are you in? What group are you in? The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Two groups. Which one are you? So as I close this up here today, when we go through the fiery trial of life, remember, the Lord is with us. The Lord was with them. He was in the fire. Sometimes we got to get in the fire. We're going to have to get in the fire, okay? But the Lord is with us. He's with us. When we talk to you today, we're going to have to live different. We're going to have to be different from the world. We're going to have to be devoted to the Lord. We're going to have to be dedicated to some things, church and Bible reading and prayer. And then when we're living the righteous life in the Lord, you've been saved, you've been born again, He's going to deliver us. Like I said earlier, He will deliver us. If you're saved, you never go into the fiery pits of hell. He's delivered you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So I ask you, who is that God? That God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. But is He your Savior? Let's pray.